Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as I always am, with my friend, my co-host in crime, the legendary Captain Jack Barry. Jack, my friend. What's poppin', dude?
I had some Ron Burgundy. I thought you were going to say legendary Ron Burgundy or
legendary.
Something like that.
Stay classy. Dude, what's popping? It's good to see you, man.
Yeah. Not a whole lot, dude. Just working stuff, but
there you go.
Yeah.
I am getting ready to go on vacation. I'm actually really looking forward to it. I'm heading down toward the Arizona way. It's already let's check this real quick. Let's check this. Hey Siri, how hot is it in Phoenix, Arizona? We're gonna be in that area. Let's see what she says. It's 95 right now.
Ooh.
That's cooking. That's cooking for this Pacific Northwest boy.
Yeah.
Right. But it's gonna be. I got some time away with my lady, and much needed time, and we get to just spend some time together and be poolside with cigars.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna pretty much be the vacation. I'm trying to figure out currently what I'm gonna bring down a couple books, because you know, in the heat of the day, you know, you're gonna be inside, so I want some stuff to do. So I'm trying to figure out a couple books to bring down, and that's what's happening right now. But
yeah,
Jack, my friend, we have shenanigans to speak of.
So we do.
Shenanigans to talk about. Before we get into that, why don't you give us the Reformatory Cigar of the Week? What do you got for us, my friend?
Well, to finish up the kind of May for Mystery Month, the kind of, you know, that mystery warheads kind of candy that we were fond of in the 90s. So I did a pretty bougie cigar last time, which was the Maestra de Saca Krakatoa.
That's right.
Which is a mouthful,
of a
cigar name. This week, we are doing a cigar by one of our favorite cigar brands called the Melanic. Menelik. Not Menelik. This is the Menelik by Foundation Cigars. So this cigar is named after the ancient ruler of Ethiopia, Menelik the First. He was said to be the son of King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, which is kind of interesting.
I don't know.
Anyways,
about that, but you know, continue. Yeah.
We'll see. Anyways, so this cigar, it is a Toro sizing, Vitola. It is the wrapper is San Andreas. The binder is Nicaraguan. It's Corojo 99. And the filler is Nicaraguan as well. The tobacco is from Esteli and Jalapa. So that's pretty much, I mean, Mexican and Nicaraguan kind of blends here. Most of the cigar is going to be quite interesting as far as flavor goes. A lot of pepper, a lot of kind of savory steak, apparently.
Nice.
Flavors going on in the cigar. Josh, do you care to take a shot at what the MSRP is on this thing?
All right. Is this a Toro or
it is?
It's a Toro.
It's a Toro.
Okay, I'm going to say $11.70.
It's a little on the low end. So this is going to be a little bit bougie. All right.
Okay.
So this is MSRP is going to be anywhere from $15 to $17.
Not even close. Okay.
So we're going to roll with that. Yeah. A little bit more on the expensive side, but depends on your if you like very savory cigars and you like foundation, I think this is definitely up that kind of alley of what they do. And so, yeah.
Love it.
Anyway, it's been kind of rated around the high 80s, low 90s range, somewhere around there. For this cigar in particular, but that is the Menelik Toro by Foundation Cigars, finishing out our May is for Mystery Month.
Perfect.
So, there you go.
Well, Jack, as always, well done. Excellent job. Bring in the heat, as always. My friends, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So speaking of to the glory of God, speaking of Sole Deo Gloria, speaking of the five solas, speaking of the Reformation, we have Popedy Dopedy, which I like
Frankie.
To call him. Old Frankie.
Oh, man.
Pope Frankie coming out with some heat this week, my friend. And this quote came out, it went around the socials, we had quite a few people ask, hey, you guys should talk about this because it's definitely local church related and people know our, I mean, I'll say my, probably more so, but I know Jack enjoys it as well. Our affinity for Reformation Month. Reformation Month is something that we love and we don't hide that we love because of the truths that the Reformation rekindled, brought back to light. And it's just one of my favorite months. But that is in October, Jack. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little Reformation Month in May. And we're going to talk about the need for reformation, constant reformation, semper reformanda, if you will, within the local church today because of the statements made by Popedy Dopedy. Okay? So let me read the quote first, and then I'm going to throw it over to you first as to, you know, to get your initial reactions.
Yeah,
because I know you have some, but he came out and said that we meaning the human race, we are all fundamentally good. Yes, there are some rogues and sinners, but the heart itself is good. So before I throw it over to you, I want to credit him where credit's due for bringing back the term rogue. I mean, I feel like other than, you know, if you're in like a D&D campaign, you're not using the word rogue a whole lot. And I like to roll the R on that. Rogue, right?
Rogues.
Rogue. Yeah, that's right. So either D&D campaign or that one X-Men, who's actually a woman.
Yeah.
You're not using the term rogue. So good on him. Good on him for kicking it old school. Like, you know. Frankie, but Jack, quite the quote.
Yeah.
Quite the statement. And as the 1689er you are, tell me your initial responses there, my friend.
Do you even Bible, bro? Like, seriously, is this man looking at the narrative of scripture at all? Cause I don't think he is one bit. It just shows you how much, and I'm sure like Catholics are probably ticked at him for him even saying that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, no, dude, like, are you serious? It's kind of interesting that even Catholics would be mad at him for saying that. But I mean, I get it. Because I mean, let's be honest, like Frankie is on the liberal leaning side of things when it comes to the Catholic Church.
100%.
So this quote in some respects doesn't really surprise me at all, but yet it's just like, really, dude, like you are supposed to be what your denomination says as the vicar of Christ on earth. And this is what that, I mean, it's just devoid of anything biblical or anything kind of acknowledging that, like, Jesus, because I think it was like the full statement had to do with the fact that, like, he was talking about, like, there's so much, like, because I think in that interview, the interviewee talked about, like, what gives you hope. And it just, like, he talked about, like, the human race and this very humanistic view. And I'm just like, wow, like, this is, like, very secular.
Yeah.
To what should be, to what his predecessors would probably have just, like, been, like, absolutely, like, face palming if anybody would have said that in, like, the Catholic Church at all in that kind of a setting. So to one extent, I'm just like, why? And to the other extent, I'm kind of not shocked. And then the other side of it is, it's like, dude, come on, bruh. Yeah. But yeah,
it is. It is. There's multiple things there in terms of just Catholic doctrine in and of itself. Pope Francis, or, you know, as his close friends call him, Frankie, you know, Pope Frankie, or Popus Frankius is I think the official term. So we're going to go with that. Popus Frankius.
Okay.
No, I do think, you know, you are correct in terms of traditional Catholic doctrine. Pope Francis is massively liberal.
Yeah.
Massively liberal. Now, again, that doesn't give credence to Catholic doctrine because we disagree with even their baseline doctrine. But if you just take their doctrine in and of itself, he is so far removed from that and has continued through his tenure, can you call it, as Pope,
sure,
moving farther and farther away from their core beliefs, right? So, you know, the whole abortion, you know, issue was a big one. Gay marriage was a big one, right? And now you see this, which is an incredibly un-Catholic statement and an obviously unbiblical statement, right? Because
it even undermines to an extent of, like, I bet you some Catholics, hopefully some Catholics are about to just jump ship and just say, that's it, we're going Protestant, because because at this point it's like, then why even have confession out of a statement like this? So why even have certain practices in the Catholic Church where you just acknowledge that those practices really don't need to exist because you just said, well, technically everybody's good. Okay, so if everybody's good, that means, like, do we have to do confession anymore? Because technically, that's a huge thing for the Catholic Church, right? You have mediators by priests. Those mediators are mediating the sins of their parishioners and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, where's the beef? You know?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, if we agree, or I would say if Catholics agree with the Pope's statements, then you're right, right? Like his position as vicar of Christ, as mediator, priests doing confession for their parishioners, that's no longer like a thing, right? And and it's, of course, we want it to be no longer a thing, but not for this reason. We want it to no longer be a thing because they see Christ as the perfect mediator, our perfect priest, right, who has fulfilled the role of priest perfectly once and for all. That is the reason that we no longer need an earthly mediator. We no longer need a priest to take our confessions and go to God in the temple on behalf of the people. We have Christ that does that perfectly every single moment for his chosen people, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this massive theological issue, not just for Catholic doctrine, but obviously for true biblical doctrine, when the Pope is saying that the heart is actually good. There's really no, you know, there's really no bad people, right? Apart from a few rogues and sinners, right? The heart itself is good. And obviously, right, it flies in the face of what Scripture says. Romans, 3, 11, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks after God. Romans 3:12, there is no one that does good, not even one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53, all like sheep have gone astray. Jeremiah,
I think it's the heart, 17.
The heart itself is desperately wicked, right? No one can understand it. So it's obvious that the Pope, the vicar of Christ in the Catholic doctrine, the one who is supposed to be holy and sinless, does not read the Holy Scriptures. Mm-hmm. Or he does, and he disagrees with them.
Yeah.
Either way, my friend, it points to the continued need for the Reformation. Mm-hmm. We look at why the Reformation happened back in the 15th century. We see the exact same shenanigans happening. It just looked a little different. And that you have the Pope and the priests and the cardinals claiming things about the gospel, claiming things about human nature, claiming things about God and his gospel that are just flat out unbiblical and false. And then you see the rise of biblical truth, a reformation, a reforming, right, of biblical doctrine. And it brings to light and it exposes it once again and shows it to the people, and the Reformation starts and it catches wildfire because people all of a sudden realize, oh, we've been held under bondage by horrible priests that don't understand the Scriptures and that utilize and twist the Scriptures for their own gain, right? And the Reformation explodes. Right. And we get out of that, the five solas of the Reformation, right, which we've gone over ad nauseum on this podcast, right? Core Christian truths and core Christian doctrines. But I think it's easy to look at that kind of thing and be like, oh, well, I mean, that was back then, right? We don't have individuals today, you know, being, at least in the Catholic Church in America, you know, we're not persecuted for not praying in Latin. There's nobody, you know, utilizing indulgences or telling people to, you know, if you touch this relic and climb these stairs, you'll get certain, you know, years off of purgatory and things of that sort. But those doctrines still are there.
Yeah, it's not as quite out there, but there's definitely still a level of indulgences and stuff like that that's out there in the Catholic Church, but it's just not as out there in your face
it's not as flagrant.
But
the doctrine is there,
right?
And now you see statements like this coming from the Pope claiming basically that original sin isn't true and that the heart is good. And that, you know, aside from a few people, you know, there are, you know, people are good, right? And my obvious question at that point is then, why do we need you?
Yeah.
Why do the Catholic people need you?
Yeah.
Why do we need an even bigger question if that's true? Again, these are obvious questions, but need to be asked. And is why do we need a savior?
Yeah.
If we're good, if my heart is good and most people are good, then friends, this is a serious matter, right? Because it flies in the face of what the gospel preaches, and it flies in the face of what the gospel proclaims, and that is that there is no one good. No one seeks after God. And as R.C. Sproul says, the biggest problem man has is that God is holy and he is not.
Yeah.
And we need a mediator. There needs to be someone who is holy, who is able to take the place of that sacrifice, and that's Christ, right? So, Jack, I think there needs to be in the local churches today a continuation of the Reformation, because uh-huh. everywhere we look, there are individuals that are trying to convince people that salvation is able to be merited on their own.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. Huge issue.
Yeah. It's not just that. I think not only merited on their own, but I think it's just you don't have correct law and gospel distinctions as well, too.
Yeah.
I think that's starting to bleed in more towards issues that we see at churches. And that's where you need to have reformation happen in your local churches as well, too. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's 100% right, man. Yeah, and it makes me wonder too, like, what, because the original Reformation was such an event, and it was such a it was such a point in history, right? I don't know if we'll get another one of those, or if it's just going to look different within the churches, like within the individual churches, right? Because I think that's where it has to start.
Yeah.
You know, because when you think about what a continuance of the Reformation looks like today within the context of the local church, mm-hmm. how do you see that playing out on a daily basis within that specific context?
Yeah, it's going to have to be led by your local pastors. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's going to be a huge driving force. Like if you want people to see the beauty of Christ and be gospel centered, like they're going to have gospel doctrine and gospel culture. And that's where you're going to have power and you're going to see the beauty of Christ go forth. So yeah, it's not just our doctrine, but it's also our practice and what we practice as our doctrine and how that flows. So I think that's more of the Reformation that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have churches that just spew out and say a bunch of doctrine. You're going to have churches that actually walk the walk.
Yeah.
And don't talk the talk, you know?
Right.
I think that's the key thing that we need to figure out. And part of it, and for us to figure that out, it's not for us to necessarily figure it out. It's just for us to be and for us to embody. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the toughest thing. But I think the other part of it, too, is just confessing that we are sinners in need of a savior, instead of just ignoring it like, just get the bad people and the rogues over there, you know?
Yes.
Just
the sinners and the rogues.
Yeah. So I think part of it is confession. And then the other part of it is just, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk. And that can happen as easy as your pastors just doing that on a daily basis every single Sunday when you gather together. And it happens too within your local church with your members too, just embodying those mm-hmm. things. So yeah, I think part of it has to be that way. Versus necessarily like a certain figurehead, you know, trying to spark debate. Cause I don't think that's not what's going to spark another Reformation. I think it's just going to have to happen when local churches say, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, and it's a commitment to the same truths that started the first Reformation, right? Like if you look at what was the thing that spread like wildfire through Europe, it was the gospel. It was a correct understanding of the gospel that freed people. It didn't put them in further bondage, right? Yeah. There was a commitment to the authority of Scripture and pointing to Christ as the only mediator between God and man.
Yeah.
And that is the core of what needs to continue the Reformation even today, right? Like, you know, R.C. Sproul said all the time that every generation, like the truths of Scripture need to be nailed onto the doors of Wittenberg every generation.
Yeah.
Right? That we need to be constantly looking back at Scripture to be our guide and to be our source of truth, because we believe it's authoritative. Sola Scriptura. It was one of the core truths that came out of the Reformation. And if we are going to continue to see the Reformation happen and happen the way that it should, it is a commitment to, at its core, a correct understanding of the gospel, who Jesus is and what he has done, right? And I think you see that need for Reformation, not even just in the Catholic Church today, but in quote-unquote Protestant churches today that have missed it. They're missing the mark. They're trying to make their Lord's Day services and their identity as local churches centered around something other than Christ and his gospel. And the Reformation is needed there just as much as it is in the Vatican.
Yeah.
Because you still have people that are pledging their allegiance and clinging to something that is not Christ.
Yeah.
It's something else. It's either their own Protestant Pope that they've set up, right? It's either, you know, some off tiltered identity as a church. It could be money. It could be programs. It could be a great deal of things, but the Reformation and the truths of the Reformation don't just apply to Catholicism.
Yeah.
It applies to anybody and anything that is preaching an incorrect gospel.
Yeah.
Right. So if Reformation is going to continue in our churches, then we have to make the gospel the main thing and have a commitment to Christ and his word, because that is what started it, and that's what continues it, because it's the only thing that's authoritative.
Yeah.
Right. And my hope, Jack, is that through these statements and how the Pope has continued to veer farther and farther away, obviously from Scripture, but also just Catholic, you know, traditional Catholic doctrine.
Yeah.
That Catholics are going to see this. And they're going to realize through these events that you do not put your hope in man.
Yeah.
You don't put your trust in man.
Yeah.
You don't have a man taking the position of vicar of Christ when you can have the real thing. Mm-hmm. And that you no longer need to be worrying about, you know, going to mass, a certain amount of times, making sure that you're doing your confession a certain amount of times, making sure that you're living a life that is up to the standard in order that God will grant you salvation when you die. All of that's paid for.
Yeah.
And it's been provided to you through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that through these events and through these statements, Jack, that Catholics will begin to see how the Catholic doctrine is just one that kills.
Yeah.
It's not one that gives life. It's one that gives bondage, not freedom. And true freedom is found in the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ that was revealed again in the Reformation and continues to be today. So that's my hope, man. Like as you know, the Lord uses these types of things, and you know, Popey Dopey with his horrible unbiblical statements. I really hope the Lord uses that.
Yeah.
And uses it to bring Catholics to a correct understanding of the gospel that they might be saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man.
I think Big Eva has sung, sir.
I think she has. I think it's time. So, Jack, my friend, without further ado, why don't you get us out of here, bud?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts at making the local church central to the believer's life, and especially in this case, how Reformation needs to continue, we need to have like our own little inward reformatories happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then that hopefully will carry on into your local church, and your local church also becomes like a place of reformation as well too. You can continue to support us in many different endeavors and ways. One of those is through the sociables, if you will. Yes, those dumpster fires that we all love, we can't live without. You can find us on the Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will, the Instagram, goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or the always entertaining, formerly known as Twitter, X, if you will.
Oh, yes.
Find us at those sociable sites at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Drop us a DM, drop us an episode idea. If you got questions, anything like that, let us know. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might see more of our mugs in different ways.
Our mugs, meaning our faces.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, well, if you appreciate the what we say here on the Reformatory and you'd like to see the episodes as well as listen to them, you can head on over to YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, and you can watch the video of this episode. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We'd really appreciate that. If you're a longtime listener and no-time reviewer, we would ask that you give this podcast 5 stars. 5 stars for 5 solas, as fitting the topic of this episode. And write us just a little review. It helps the podcast get out to more people, so more people can be encouraged in their faith and their commitment to the local church. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. And Jack, my friend, before we go, we have a little bit of the business. And that, speaking of Patreon, we have a new patron that has joined the ranks of the Reformatory. They have chosen to show up to the podluck, and they didn't just bring a bag of chips. They didn't just bring a case of Oreos, although every podluck, every local church needs that dude. They brought a full-on casserole because they subscribed to the Reformatory All Access, the podluck, as we call it. This shout-out goes out to Dana Bitto. Dana Bitto. You know who you are. You know I know who you are. And we thank you so much for coming alongside the Reformatory with your $5 holla and supporting what we do here on the podcast. And friends, if you would like to follow in the footsteps of Dana and subscribe to the All Access, you can head on over to Patreon. The link is in the description of this episode. $5. That's all it is, Jack. It's super cheap.
To have your name hallowed, sir.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you if you should do so. We thank you all for listening. We thank Dana for her subscription to the Reformatory All Access. And we will catch you all on the next step of the Reformatory.